ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into another episode of Nosebleeds. Step in the box, step on the hill, grab a seat at the ballpark because we have a bunch of baseball to talk today. It's definitely baseball season. I know all summer is baseball season, but right now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of baseball. It's after the trade deadline. We're heading close to the playoffs. It's that final stretch. We're getting to see who's who, who's coming out of the deadline looking like a new team, who's coming out looking like a worse team. But before we get into all the baseball talk today, I'm Evan Harkin, your host, alongside Grace McCarron and Max Spitzer. Grace, Max, how you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good. Excited to get into the last couple months of baseball season, especially with all these teams competing for a playoff spot. So super excited to see how everything shakes out, especially after the trade deadline.
And I'm personally, I think this is one of the best seasons I've seen in a long time. I don't think there can be a single team that wins 100 games or even close to 100 games. So I think it's competitive, and you haven't seen this in such a long time, and I'm excited to see how it ends up.
Yeah, we were talking about it before we even got on. Such a close competitive season that we really love to see as baseball fans. Two teams that are keeping it competitive right now, definitely the Yankees and the Mets. We'll start over in the Bronx with the Yankees today. The Yankees were doing pretty good. They hadn't lost a series in the Jazz Chisholm era since acquiring him right around the deadline time. They got through the Blue Jays. They got through the Phillies. They got through some good teams, but then they fell to the Angels recently. That's not what you want to see if you're a Yankee fan. The Angels, not a good team. But the Yankees had been playing well. Their acquisitions had been playing well. Mark Leiter Jr., a guy they went out to strike people out to get them out of sticky situations. That's exactly what he's been doing for them lately. Somewhat won the Blue Jays series for them in that final game. And then Jazz Chisholm on the offensive side, not only on the offensive side, because he's been playing spectacular defense as well. I've never seen someone make a transition to third base that's never played it so well. So that just speaks to his athleticism and something he brings to the table that the Yankees typically never have in athleticism. But what are you guys seeing out of Jazz, Mark Leiter, and these new Yankees?
Well, I really have loved the Jazz acquisition for them. I know that it was kind of a mixed reaction from Yankee fans, at least from what I saw about, you know, maybe there's some concerns about how he would fit into the locker room or like what kind of role he would play. But I think he's fitting in quite nicely so far with the way he's performing on offense and on defense. And I also like, it's not for me, like the bullpen is not perfect, but I like Mark Leiter Jr. has been okay. And I always say like, it's better to have more bullpen arms. So I did appreciate that they tried to get more for their bullpen at the trade deadline, but mostly like Jazz has been such a revelation for them and really like put a little pep in the step of this team that was struggling so much for a while.
Yeah, Grace, just like you're saying, picking up Jazz is such a risky move for an organization like the Yankees because he represents the modern baseball era in such a way that it goes against what the Yankees are all about, which is tradition, and they follow it. No beards, got to keep the hair short. They limited Doogie to one chain instead of his eight that he usually wears. But it's, you see it just straight in the numbers. Since he joined and played his first game on July 28th, they've won 7 out of 11, which is really huge for a team like the Yankees, who earlier in that month got swept by the Reds, which is a terrible team. They're losing places. They're losing their opportunity to beat the Orioles in that division race. And Jazz has kind of lit a little fire under him. And like you, Evan was saying earlier, he's playing third base, which they've been trying. Like Gleyber hates playing third base and he complains about it all the time and he doesn't want to do it, all this. Jazz just wants to get in the lineup. And that was great to see. I know Barrett Spritzer from last week, he even mentioned that, how that's going to be a major impact for them to have someone who is athletic, someone who brings energy every single day to the field. And yeah, is he a Yankee in my book? No, I couldn't see that at all. Everything he wears, all of it, it's not true to the tradition. But as long as he keeps helping them win games, I don't think anyone's going to care about that. I don't think anyone's going to worry. And I mean, it's up to them now coming up in this last stretch.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the nose right there, Max. The Yankees hate modern baseball. They hate fun. They hate colors. But I think that the changes they've been making have been good for them. I mean, adding Juan Soto, I wouldn't really call him a Yankee type of guy. A lot more moxie, flair, swag than your typical Yankee player. And now adding Jazz Chisholm. So it seems like straying away from that old tradition, which seems pointless to even a lot of Yankee fans, has been good for them as of late. Some scary things that happened for Yankee fans yesterday was Anthony Volpe going down with a foot injury after he fouled a ball off of his foot. He hit it into his toe. He then had three more at-bats and played for about six innings until the Yankees were up by a lot of runs. I believe it was 9-1. But Boone confirmed to the media that they did take him out of the game because of the foot injury. But they later on said that the x-rays were negative. There's no breaks, no dislocations. So they're treating it as a contusion. Huge sigh for Yankees fans. I think everyone would cross the next question I'm about to ask off their list if Anthony Volpe had a major injury. But I kind of want to get you guys' takes. Max, you mentioned it a little bit, so I'll kick it to you first on this Orioles-Yankees race. We know whoever loses is going to slot right into that wild card spot and be in there in the playoffs. But it's one of the closest in baseball right now in the division. The Yankees will be playing the Rangers, a decent team, before they go on to a couple bad teams, the White Sox, the Tigers. But there's good teams going on in the end. They'll be playing the Baltimore Orioles going up until the end. So, who do you see taking this one in the end of the AL East, the Orioles or the Yankees?
I have the Yankees fully and strictly down to the fact that they have the easiest schedule, and depending where you look, it's one of the top four easiest schedules for the remainder of the year. While the Orioles do not, I mean, they're not playing a terrible, they're not playing super hard schedule, but the Yankees are on fire with Chisholm. Yeah, they dropped. It's really going to be dependent on how they play against the Rangers, because if you win that series against the Rangers, they're going to take three games probably from those terrible White Sox, two from the Tigers, and at that point you're already rolling. So I think with their schedule, they have the better chance. And I mean, the Orioles are the Orioles, but they're not going to take it from them this year.
I actually am going to go to the opposite direction. I think it will be the Orioles winning the division, but I do think it's going to come down to that last series, I believe is in September, Yankees versus Orioles. My one thing about, you touched on it, Max, that the Yankees have a way easier schedule, but my big concern with the Yankees in their past couple weeks has been the rotation. I haven't loved what I've seen from Marcus Stroman, has been struggling recently. Nestor Cortez, especially last night against the Angels, did not look very good. And also Carlos Rodon, who has actually been improving recently, I just don't like, he's third in the American League in home runs allowed. I just don't have a ton of trust in him if I'm the Yankees. And Luis Gil, who has been their ace, he's been okay, but I still have workload concerns for him, and I'm wondering how they're going to handle that come playoff time. But I think that might kind of get the Yankees a little bit as they continue on. Now, the Orioles haven't been playing their best baseball in the past couple of weeks, but that being said, I still think it's going to be the Orioles at the top of the division.
Yeah, I really like what both of you guys are saying. The schedule definitely matters. But then you mentioned, Grace, that the Yankees pitching staff has been playing really poorly. I saw a stat that Nestor Cortez leads the league in batting average against him on his first pitch. Hitters bat 444 against Nestor Cortez on his first pitch of at bats. That's not what you want to see. And I think he's been worse than even his stats have been showing this season from watching him. He doesn't look very good. He's not the guy you put into a bullpen if you get into the playoffs. He doesn't have reliever type stuff. So, definitely some issues there with Cortez and the rotation. But I think because the Orioles are also struggling so much, I'm also going to go with the Yankees because their rotation also has two or three major guys still on IL, still injured. They're still slacking. So, I think in a battle of the two really good teams that have been slacking as of late, I think the Yankees added enough firepower to finally take it out. But it will definitely come down to that last series. That'll be a fun one to watch for sure. We'll go over to Grand Central and take a shuttle over to Queens to talk a little bit about the Mets, who are in a similar spot as the Yankees. They're more fighting for a wild card than fighting for the division. That division's pretty much the Phillies as of right now. But the Mets getting into that last wild card spot recently, hopping over the Braves after they beat the Rockies. That was a huge series for them. Grace, me and you were talking on Wednesday for one-on-one about how they lost to the Cardinals. It wasn't a good look, how they were losing to the Angels. The Angels has just been New York's arch nemesis very recently, taking down everyone's hopes on their teams. But I think this is a really big series coming up against the Mariners, because like the Yankees, after a decent team, a team striving to make the playoffs like the Rangers and the Mariners, they'll play the Athletics and the Marlins. So a couple of bad teams right after that. You want to build some good mojo going into it. Grace, as a Mets fanatic over there, what have you been seeing from the Mets? What do you expect for them against the Mariners?
Well, I think I like recently, other than the Angels series, I'm okay with what I've been seeing from the Mets. Like, obviously, you're not going to win every game. So when they lost the first game against the Rockies the other day, you know, it wasn't a great feeling. But, you know, they took the series. They kind of got back into it. They pretty much clobbered them yesterday. I believe they won like 9-1. So for this Mariners series, I'm hoping for... I think this might be a little bit of a tough series because the Mariners have been struggling. Their offense is a little bit lackluster, but their new acquisitions in Randy Arozarena and Justin Turner have been showing us a little something. So I'm not sure that this is like a sweep kind of thing. And they do also have really good starting pitching. But that being said, for the Mets, I do want Pete Alonso, who hit 2 home runs yesterday. I want him to have a big series. He's kind of due for a hot streak, which I think will really help their offense. He hasn't had a very good season, as we've discussed. But I'm also looking for their rotation to really continue as they've been performing recently. Like Sean Manaea is pitching this weekend, and he's been really, really excellent in his past few starts, like ace caliber, I would say. And Jose Quintana pitches tonight. He's been pretty solid, a little bit struggling overall this season, giving up home runs, which he doesn't usually do, but recently he has gotten better with that. So I'm looking forward to this Mariners series. I'm also looking forward to the upcoming series, especially when they come home against the White Sox, come to town in a few weeks, and the A's next week. So overall, I'm looking forward to the rest of August for the Mets. Like, obviously, it's not always going to be easy. They have a series against the Padres in San Diego in a couple weeks, which might be tough because the Padres have been looking really good. But overall, I'm feeling pretty good about the Mets right now.
I think it's also their August needs to be their month, because if you look at September, they're ending it playing the Phillies twice, the Braves, and the Brewers, all which are teams that are debatably better than the Mets when the Mets are playing them their normal game, which isn't always great. Not a huge Mets fan, but I don't know. I think the Mets have a chance, and it's really just up to how they play. They have the tools. They've proven it by going on that crazy run, and they have it. It's just, are they going to be able to use it? Are they going to win these big games? And big thing is, are they going to be able to beat the Phillies and the Braves near the end of the season and give themselves enough space to where that final series is always a series that you don't want to be the decider. See it many, many different years, many different times. I mean, as a Brewers fan, I've seen it. They lose that. They don't win the series against the Rockies. They have to end up facing the Nationals, and the Nationals beat them. Nationals go and win a World Series, you know, like getting those wins and getting in that specific seat has been so much more important recently due to the expansion of the postseason, that if I was a Mets fan, I'd be a little nervous. If I was anyone but a Phillies and Dodgers fan, I'd be a little nervous in the NL, because you're going to have to play some tough teams in that wild card. And with where the Mets are too, it's going to be an away series if they were to stay where they are in the wild card, which is even harder for them. So
yeah, I agree. There's definitely more craziness going on over in the National League than the American League right now. You got the Padres, the Diamondbacks. Both of those teams are on 8-2 win streaks in their last 10. They're on fire. The Diamondbacks playing twice as good as they did to start the season, kind of showing the team they were last year. And the Padres heating up before the deadline, going all out, making a lot of us laugh as baseball fans, saying, what are they doing? Why are they buying? They're not good enough. And then they go up and climb to the number one wildcard spot after being completely out a couple of games, completely out before they made those big trades. So the Padres able to see something the rest of us didn't. I think that's pretty cool that they went ahead and went for it, and it's showing results right now. But getting back to the Mets, I like what both of you are saying about the opponents. It's kind of, you know, the Mets are good. The Mets are talented. Their bullpen's really bad. And even though their starters have been playing better, there's just so much competition going on. I think they're going to have to beat the Braves. I don't think the Diamondbacks and the Padres are going to move around. I think both of those teams are better than the Braves this season. The Braves' entire offense has been pretty bad, except for Marcell Ozuna this season. I honestly don't even know how they're staying afloat. Every time I check in on the Braves, they're doing pretty poorly. But I guess just being the Atlanta Braves, having the baseball knowledge that all those savvy vets have that have been deep in the playoffs before. And Max, you were mentioning how the Mets have bad luck when it comes down to them needing to win series late on. They're going to be playing the Braves, and in 2022, they needed to win one game in a three-game series, lost all three, and then lost a wild card game to the Padres. Sorry, I had to bring that back up, Grace. I just had to get that out there. That's another possibility that could happen around here. So they'll be back against those teams all going on. But I kind of want to get you guys' takes on who you think the three wild card teams will be. I mentioned I thought it's going to be the Padres and the Diamondbacks. I'll give that third spot to the Mets. I do think their offense being so much better than the Braves, I think they'll be able to get enough wins together to finish maybe just a half game, one game over them. But who do you guys think is the final three and that NL wild card? I know we're still a little bit far away, but let's get some predictions going.
I mean, I could go for the NL or even the AL as well.
We could do both. Let's start with the NL and let's go AL too. I like that.
I would definitely keep the Padres. They're getting that first wild card spot. They're red hot. I mean, they're a talented team. You look at their roster, and you're kind of like, if they weren't in the same division as the Dodgers, they'd probably be one of the top three seeds. And actually, I have the Mets going into that number two spot. D-backs are playing the Phillies right now. I was at the game. They're all right. There's nothing exciting coming from the D-backs. It's not the same team. They don't have the same energy as last year. So I don't see them successfully keeping that second wild card spot. But at the end of the day, those two are really interchangeable, and that 5-6 seed is going to switch 100 times for the end of the season. But with the AL, I mean, I have the Yankees winning that division. So I have Orioles in that first spot. Then I have Kansas City actually beating the Twins out. It's going to be hard for them. Twins are much better than I expected them to be this year, but they're going on a little trip where they play the Cardinals, Twins, Reds, Angels, Phillies, Cleveland, and the Astros coming up in August. So that's going to be difficult for them, but I think they can pull it off. Their young team with their, of course, captain at the helm. And then finally, I have the Red Sox actually coming in to that sixth seed. I think they deserve it. I mean, Boston fans, they've been struggling. They've had a couple rough years, and I think the Red Sox are a sneaky team that not a lot of people talk about. And I think just like the D-backs, if they make the wild card, just like the D-backs did last year, they can really do some damage.
Yeah, I have for the National League, I have Padres with the number one spot as well. I just really love what I've been seeing from them recently, and I was kind of, I feel like every year I'm a little bit iffy on them until we get into this part of the season, and they always seem to light up at the right time. So I'm going to put them for the first wild card, and then I'm going to have the Diamondbacks at the second, which a few weeks ago seems like it would be crazy because I just, like, they were not playing like they were in the World Series last season. Corbin Carroll has not been the same player that he was last year, and Christian Walker got hurt. Like, a lot of things were going wrong for them, but they seem to have figured it out. And they're playing really good baseball recently. So I have them at the second wildcard spot. And then I have the Mets at the third spot over the Braves, which seems like a risky thing to say. But I think the Braves, their injury problems, their offense struggling, other than Ozuna, as you said, Evan, I just don't think that is going to be, I don't think that's sustainable on the last couple months of baseball for them to continue winning baseball games. And they've had so many, like, pitching injuries, and, like, Matt Olson last year was such a great player and a great piece for them, and he just has not been the same guy, kind of like Corbin Carroll hasn't been the same for the Diamondbacks. So I'm picking the Mets to advance. I like what I've seen from the Mets. I'm a little biased, but for the American League, I have the Yankees at the first wild card spot with the Orioles taking the AL East, and then I also have Kansas City at the second wild card spot. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is it's hard to
He's
overestimate
insane.
how unbelievable he's been. So I have them at the second, and I love like Seth Lugo has been flourishing for them. They've just like everything's been going right for them. I'm high on the Royals. I think they might be really interesting in the playoffs. And then I also have the Red Sox in the third wild card spot. They seem to have figured it out. Like they've had some things happen for them, but they seem to have figured it in. Like nobody was really expecting this, but they seem to have gotten it together and they're making it interesting. So I'm going to hand them the third wild card spot, which means no Twins also. But I think Red Sox instead of Twins.
Well, the Yankee fan in me absolutely hates the Boston love you guys are giving them. They just won the NBA championship. They don't need anything else. They'll be fine with their Celtics ring. Celtics will be great next season. So I'm actually
They're
not going
being
to
punished
have.
though. They're being punished by Jason Tatum not getting any playing time. That's what they deserve.
As they should be, as they should be. But my American League is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to have the Yankees at the one, or the Orioles at the one. Excuse me, I had the Yankees winning, so we'll get the Orioles in that one for the wild card. I will put the Royals in two as well. I think Salvi Perez playing like it's 2016 for no reason to go along with Bobby Witt hitting three triples a game. I got to watch him run the bases. He hit three triples in a game. I was at Citi Field, and he is the fastest baseball player I've ever seen. It's electric to watch. But I'm going to go ahead and put the Mariners in there. I think the acquisitions they got, mostly Randy Arozarena, which is exactly what a team with really good pitching, really good defense, contact hitters that aren't driving in runs need. They need Randy Arozarena. He'll be there to drive in the runs if they're on base. They still have Bryce Miller. I think he's going tonight against Quintana, against the Mets. I do think they will win the series against the Mets, mostly because the Mets have that huge road trip they're still on. They have to be exhausted from traveling thousands of miles across the West Coast, playing tonight at 10:10 Eastern time. But I'm going to put the Mariners in that spot over the Red Sox. I'm going to put them in that last spot in there. But I think that's going to do it for our wild card races that we had the NL, we got the AL. I kind of want to get any special teams you guys have an eye on. I kind of have, I guess it's a little controversial now, Max, but I was going with the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks are showing exactly what they showed last year. I know you were saying you watched them in person, so you got a firsthand account of it, but I'm seeing them coming back. Merrill Kelly should be coming back soon. I'm not saying he will be the pitcher last year off the 60-day IL, but Zach Gallen has been, and Fat has been pretty good as well. He could be that too. That dominated last year in the playoffs. It was Gallen and Kelly dominating almost every other game, really dragging that D-backs team through the playoffs with Corbin Carroll, who's been playing his best baseball as of late. That's everything Arizona did last year. Oh, and they just got Josh Bell. He hit two multi-run home runs in his first two games as a D-back, showing that their trade acquisitions are making them even better than the super red-hot team. And I'm just getting PTSD. I see the same thing happening. Christian Walker will be back. He's been gone for this hot stretch. They've got bats, Peterson, Marte, Carroll. They've got pitchers. I just see it coming. I don't know if you guys feel separately about the Diamondbacks or if there's a different team you think is going to shake up the playoffs that nobody expects.
I mean, looking at the Diamondbacks, you're 100% right. All they had to do was kind of like strengthen up their offense because they have the pitching. All they have to do is pitch the way they're getting paid to pitch, which a couple of them have started to. But Josh Bell is an unbelievable pickup for them. I think great with Christian Walker when he comes back, having those two in the lineup. I'm not going to say it's close to having when the Yankees have Judge and Stan in the lineup at the same time. But having to face both of those power hitters back to back or even one batter in between them is going to be really hard for some pitchers, especially in these high stress games. What is crazy, what my big take is I have actually the Brewers taking the number two seed over the Dodgers.
Love it.
I don't know exactly what led me to this more than I just think that the Brewers. It's their time. I mean, I've been watching them for a long time now as a Brewers fan, and it's so different now. They know how to use rookies and they kind of had a little fire under them this entire season because everyone was telling them rebuild, start over, rebuild. You just lost Craig Counsell. How's Craig doing? He's not doing too good. He's not doing too hot at the bottom with the Cubs, and that's where he belongs. But I think the Brewers have a chance to take that number two seed, and I really think that's what's going to really shake everything up because if a Dodger and the Dodgers in a wild card game is not someone you want to face. It's not someone you want to have to play, especially as the team that's going to end up playing them after the fact, because the Phillies, if they have to play them, they don't want to play the Dodgers that early. The Dodgers are on that wild card. So that little switch between the Brewers and the Dodgers is really going to shape up that NL or shake it up. And I mean, it's going to be difficult for teams to beat a Dodger team after they've won two series in a row or one series in like one series. So I think the Brewers are going to take that second spot. It's going to shake everything up. Maybe they can actually win an NLCS. That would be huge. Is it going to happen? I don't know. You got to see. A lot of time left.
I'm gonna go. We already touched on this a little bit, but I'm gonna go with the Royals. I'm so interested in how they have pulled off the season. They've had so many terrible years in recent years, and they were just completely out of it. Like, by basically felt like May, they were done. But now they've gotten the pieces. Bobby Witt Jr. is, if Aaron Judge did not exist, the MVP of the American League in my eyes. They have the pitching. They just got Michael Lorenzen from Texas, who I think is a very solid piece to add to that rotation. And I'm just super, like Salvi Perez, we were saying, also has had a really good season. But overall, I loved in the offseason the acquisitions they made as well before this season. And I love how they have pulled it together like this. Now, I have a little bit of trauma from 2015 with the Royals, but that's fine. I do like this current Royals team, and I'm interested to see how they are a fairly young team. Like, most of their stars, other than Salvi Perez, are fairly on the younger side. So I'm interested to see if that has an impact on their playoff performance. But I love how they've looked. I've loved seeing Seth Lugo flourish with the Royals as a starter, and I just am really fascinated to see where they go if they make the playoffs.
Grace, I love the Royals take, but MVP? A Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is still in the American League now.
If
He's
there's
still over
no,
there.
yeah, without Aaron Judge, if Aaron Judge was
Okay.
a different league, yes.
Makes sense. Makes sense. But some pretty good takes on both sides. Definitely the Royals putting it all together with Bobby Witt Jr., one of the best young stars in baseball. I also really love the Brewers take. A lot of managers across the league raving about the Brewers and their ability to do everything very fundamentally. They run the bases well. They do everything okay. They're not really good at everything, but they're solid in every spot. That's what a lot of opposing teams say about them. And if opponents are giving you credit, credit must be due. So I really like both takes there about both of those teams. Could totally see them with my D-backs making some noise in the playoffs. But that's going to do it for this episode of Nosebleeds. The Yankees will be playing a doubleheader tomorrow against the Angels. The Mets will be playing tonight at 10:10 against the Mariners. Our producer for this episode, keeping things running smoothly, has been Lauren Mondarulli. Bobby Chaffardini is the sports director here at WFUV. And from your hosts, Max Spitza and Grace McCarron, I'm Evan Harkin saying so long from WFUV Sports. Be sure to catch next week's episode of Nosebleeds.
Thank you.